Hey, good morning. My name is Mark, and I get to serve here, like he said, as one of our pastors on staff. And it is a great honor to be able to be with you guys today and to communicate with you. And we want to greet everyone that's online on our Facebook, podcast, live stream, all of our guests, whatever brought you here today. We are so glad to have you. And you might be wondering, who's this guy? This is not Pastor Mike. Nope. I'm way shorter than he is. I got more gray hair, but I'm significantly younger and better looking than him. So, for reals, I'm glad I'm here, but about a month ago, Pastor Mike, he asked me, hey, do you want to speak on the 30th? And I looked at him and said, nope. And he said, great, so you're on for the 30th. And I said, all right, so here I am. But I decided to title my message, When God Shows Up. And so I've been in church, you know, raised in church, not always good church boy, but raised in church. And sometimes the pastor would get up on stage and he would say, man, I just feel God in this place. God showed up. And then we just keep singing songs. And he'd do some kind of dancing. And I don't know what kind of crazy stuff he'd do. Where's Jonathan at? I thought maybe we'd just do that today. No, I'm just kidding. I prepared something. But sometimes I learned that that was just code word for I didn't prepare a message. God showed up today and we're just going to keep singing songs. But I did prepare something today for you. But genuinely, we are blessed to have one of the greatest communicators in this country up here every single week. Pastor Mike does an outstanding job teaching the Bible, and it's kind of intimidating following that, but I'm going to do my very best, and you're stuck with me today, so here we go. All right, so if you've got your Bibles with you, why don't you open them up or flip your screen on, and we're going to go to Acts chapter 7, and then also put a thumb in Exodus chapter 3. So in Acts chapter 7, it's a story of Stephen, and a couple weeks ago, Pastor Mike preached about Stephen, but Stephen is speaking, and the reason I'm going to use this little passage is because he basically condenses a lot down into just a small little portion, and so we're going to read from the book of Acts, chapter 7, starting in verse 22, and he's talking about Moses. And so he said, this is what it says, "And Moses was instructed in all wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the following day, he appeared to them as they were fighting and tried to reconcile them, saying, 'Men, you're brothers. Why do you wrong each other?' But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, 'Who made you ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you did the Egyptian?' At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. God, I pray that you would just make your word come to life today. God, that lives would be changed. God, help my words to be your words. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen." So I grew up on the West Coast. Yes, go Ducks. I was trying to think of something stupid to say, like when Pastor Mike always says, you know, Jesus was a volunteer. I don't know. God was never a duck. He created the ducks. They were on the ark. I don't know. But I grew up Oregon, Washington, California, all up and down the West Coast growing up. And the West Coast has a lot of awesome things. They got big, huge trees. I remember as a kid, we had a clubhouse inside of a tree. I mean, because I lived in the Redwood Forest for a little while. They've got huge mountains, breathtaking landscapes, but they're missing one glorious thing. That one glorious thing they're missing is Chick-fil-A. They have a couple now. But when I was growing up, Chick-fil-A was nowhere to be found. I mean, Chick-fil-A is the best place. You go in there and they say, it's my pleasure. You go to Taco Bell and they throw you a burrito. I mean, this is a great place. And so we moved to Florida and we were at a church there. And in Florida, Chick-fil-A's everywhere. It's just all over the place. And so, man, I tasted that glorious white Jesus chicken for the first time. And I was like, this is so good. It's got that breading on it. And so I love the nuggets. Those are my favorite thing. And so we were at a church that had multiple services. And we get out of church, and it's kind of late, and it's afternoon. And just like any time, you know, we leave, and I'm hungry. And so you know what pops into my mind? Chick-fil-A. Yes. And right when it pops into your mind, you know, your tongue starts to like salivate and you just start thinking about the awesome nuggets and they're perfectly seasoned and breaded and the waffle fries that got just enough salt on them and those cookies. Oh, cookies are the best part. And their sweet tea, which is just sugar water. I mean, good stuff. And so I'm like, yes, Chick-fil-A. And we start driving. And some of you are probably starting to taste it right now, but guess what? Too bad, because why? Praise the Lord, they're closed. But what in the world? And so I remember driving up there, and my heart just like sank into my stomach. I'm like, oh man, I knew that they told me this was going to happen, and now it has. I wanted to cry. And it's just dark, and I'm like, oh man, okay, no Chick-fil-A. And somebody in my car, I don't know if it was one of my kids or my wife, they said, McDonald's is across the street, they have nuggets. Blasphemy. That is nowhere near the same thing. Man, it's hard when you've got a taste for something and you just crave and you want that thing. And today, we're going to be talking about having a craving for something. We've all experienced at some point in life, there's an unmet desire, a hunger for something more. And here's the thing, if it's a hunger that's been placed inside of you by God, it's going to keep grumbling and groaning until you see it come to fruition and you see it come to life. God gives us sometimes some hungers and desires of things that he wants us to seek out. And so a new year is upon us. How many of you guys are excited for a new year? It's always just fun to have that fresh start. And so as a new year's coming up, a lot of us are already in that mindset of a new hunger, a new idea, a new vision, something, setting goals, something that we want for our life. Maybe we're saying, I want to be healthier. I want to start an actual devotion time that I can be consistent with. And so we start having these ideas. And I think this is a perfect time to hear this type of message because we're already in this frame set of, okay, I'm already kind of hungry for something. But I want you to take those ideas and start framing them around what God wants. And so we're going to look at the life of Moses. And Moses has some hunger, and we're gonna look at what this looks like. But many times this story begins with a burning bush. And we start hearing about Moses' calling and that God exposing a dream for Moses in a burning bush. But that's why I wanted to start in Acts chapter 7, because it kind of gives a little bit of setup for this. You see, God is about to call Moses to do something. The Israelites have been slaves in Egypt for a long time. These are God's people. God has a plan and a purpose for them. He wants them to live in a land that he's promised. And out of these people is going to come the Messiah, Jesus. And so they're in slavery, and God knows they can't be here because they need him in the promised land. And so time has gone on, but now he's going to come to Moses, and he's going to start to expose Moses to his plan. Here's the thing. This desire for Moses to be someone who's a redeemer, to be a helper, to be someone that saves people, to be someone who's a leader, has been inside of him for a long time. And the way I know this is when we read just in Acts chapter 7, it said that there was an Israelite who was being kind of bullied, harassed, and Moses came, he's like, I'm saving this guy. And he ended up taking things into his own hands, and he kills an Egyptian. See, there's a little bit of a problem here. In Acts chapter 7, verse 25, this is what it says. It says, this is Moses, supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation, and here's the problem. It says they were giving, he thought, they'll see that I'm trying to save them by his hand. See, Moses thought, I'm here to give people salvation. This is the way God has designed me to be a helper, to be someone who redeems and to protects. See, God had given some natural things to Moses, but there's a big problem here. The salvation was not to come by Moses' hand. Salvation comes by God, and he uses us as a vessel and a tool. And so Moses' hunger was correct, but the way that he was going to do it wasn't exactly right. See, many times we put so much focus on ourselves, on our goals, on our dreams, our timing, that we fail to fully surrender those things to God. God, you're taking too long. I know you've given me an idea, but man, you're not giving me the resource. This is just taking too long, God. And we start to do things our own way. It's what Moses did. It's not even that he thought it was taking too long. He just thought, I have this yearning inside of me to help these people. Kill this guy. No, you took it into your own hands. The truth is, though, sometimes you might experience success doing your own thing. But that groaning that God has placed inside of you for something else doesn't just suddenly go away. So Moses ends up running. He flees, and as he's running, he runs into a group of women. And once again, his natural inclinations and abilities show themselves. Remember, he wants to be someone who helps, saves, and leads. That's been in him for a long time. This group of women are gathered around a well. They're trying to get water, and a bunch of shepherds are there, and they're trying to run the women off. And Moses comes, and he runs the shepherds off, and he once again shows his ability and his longing desire to help. And he helps these women. They get water. And he ends up marrying one of these women. And Moses lives in the land of Midian. And so in Midian, he becomes a shepherd for another man's sheep. He's working for another man. Remember, inside of him is this desire to help free his people. But for 40 years, Moses is a shepherd in the land of Midian. For 40 years, he's married to a woman. For 40 years, he has children. He has a job. He has a family. For 40 years, it seems like, man, the desire I had, God's forgotten. For 40 years. Some of you guys feel like, maybe I've had an idea, but God maybe forgot about me. Wrong. Because 40 years later, guess what happened? God showed up. And we're going to read Exodus. Now we're in chapter 3, starting in verse 2. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, being Moses, in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I'll turn aside to see this great sight, why this bush is not burned. See, here's the thing, guys. God does not give up on you. He does not give up on your dream. If he gave you an idea, if he gave you a hunger and a desire, he doesn't suddenly just give up on you because maybe you made a mistake or you did things your own way. He's still going to continually try to pull you towards him. He doesn't just say, oh, they screwed up. I'm good. I'll find somebody else. No, he said, I put them here for a purpose, and I'm going to keep trying to pull them. Sometimes people are going to keep saying no, but man, I'm going to keep trying to pull them. And so here, he may go as far as setting something in your life on fire to try to get your attention. So there may be something right now burning in your life, and you're like, ugh! And God's just saying, would you please just pay attention to me? And the fire doesn't even have to be destructive, but man, it can sometimes just be a little bit aggravating and annoying. And God's trying to just say, turn to me. I want to say something to you. I want to speak to you. Anytime something in your life keeps burning and it doesn't burn out, God is probably trying to tell you something. So what's burning in your life? What's trying to get your attention? Like I said, it's the beginning of a new year, and a lot of you guys are having those desires. You're having some fresh ideas, and you're starting to write down goals. We call them resolutions. And that's great, but I want God to be the one that's starting something new and fresh in your life. So that's what we're going to talk about today, because I want God to show up in everybody's life this year, starting today. And so the question is, what are you going to do when God shows up? So we've got a few things seeing from this interaction with Moses and God that I think we should be doing when God shows up. The first thing is this. When God shows up, give him your attention. Starting in verse 4, it says, when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. When God saw that he turned aside to see. So when God saw that Moses shifted his focus to him, that's when God started to speak to him. See, sometimes we become so focused on our everyday stuff that we spend no time focusing on God. How is he ever supposed to tell us anything if we don't give him our attention? And so Moses is out there. He's a shepherd.
He's out doing what he normally does, walking around with his stick, hitting his sheep on the butt and doing his thing. And all of a sudden he sees this bush and it's glowing. He's like, what is going on? It's not burning up. Because Moses has been out there in this area for a long time. He's seen a bush on fire before, but this bush isn't being consumed. And so it says he turns aside. And once he gives attention to what's going on, God starts to speak. And so some of us need to be willing to take our focus off of our mundane day-to-day things and give God our attention. A lot of us say, man, I'm just too busy. My life's so full. I don't know that I can do that. I tell our pastors here that I lead all the time, busyness is laziness of the mind, and it means that you just didn't prioritize your time very well. And if you put God at the center and the first thing in your life, let the rest of the things follow and flow through. You need to plan your time with God and give him attention and give him focus. And when you do that, he'll start to speak to you. You'll start to read things in his word that start to speak to you. You'll start to, when you pray, you'll start to get nudgings and just little, man, I should try this or that. God starts to just push you and pull you and say, I need something from you. That's part of the reason that we really love and believe in the idea of fasting. Because when you fast, you're giving up something and you're shifting your attention and your focus towards God. And so every single year when we take these 3 weeks to fast and pray, we hear amazing stories of what God is doing in people's life. And the reason is because they've taken their attention and they've shifted it to God. Because when you shift your attention to God, he shows up. He speaks to you. He's not going to say, oh, they give me their attention, oh, whatever. He's a good parent. When my kids come and they start tugging on me, sometimes it gets on my nerves that they're hitting me or patting me, but I'll give them my attention because I care about them. I'll ask them, what is it that you need? What is it that you want? And I'll start talking to them. God wants to just help you. And so here's the truth. When you break patterns, you open up yourself to something new. So sometimes you need to take the normal pattern that you have and you need to just shift it a little bit so that you can have a new pattern of focusing in on God. It's kind of that, you need to relax your mind sometimes to be able to hear what God wants from you. It's that shower idea. How many of us have awesome ideas in the shower sometimes? And you're like, I wish I could write some of this down. And then you get out of the shower and it's like, poo, it floated away into bizarro land. So I've got a friend who sometimes will text me and say, I was thinking about you in the shower today, and I just wanted to know how I can pray for you. And I'm like, I don't think I like that. And so don't text your friends and say you were thinking about them in the shower. Text your wife and tell you I was thinking about you in the shower today. Don't text your friends. But the truth is, most of my message came to me in the shower, so take that for what it's worth. But the main point is, God will show up when you give him your attention, wherever it is. And so he's out there. Moses is out there walking around with his stick, probably with some poop on it because he's a shepherd. He's got his poop stick out there. And he's walking around out there leading sheep. And he's out there and it's dusty and dry and God shows up. God will show up in your mess. God will show up where you are. You just have to pay attention. So you've got to make sure you're open to seeing God. Whether it's walking the dog, whether it's a radio, on the radio some song speaks to you, somebody sends you a text message, you know, you're reading your Bible, you're spending time in prayer. You have to be paying attention to what God wants to say to you. So Moses is now, he's standing there, his shoes are off, he's standing on holy ground, he's talking to God, which is crazy, I mean, audibly talking to God. And God is going to start reinvigorating that dream. Remember I said Moses had a passion inside of him to help, to save these people, and God is going to reinvigorate that dream. And so he says, this is now time. I'm going to expose Moses to what the fullness of what I have for him. But Moses is a little bit scared. So the next things we need to do, when God shows up, we need to give him our past. Here's why I'm saying this. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 10, it says, this is God, he says, come, I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Now, there's some good things here. Moses isn't just, you know, like super like, yeah, I got this. That's right. Yeah. No, he's, who am I? That's good that he's humble. But also, if you think back of what we just read, Moses kills an Egyptian. Then he's trying to help these two guys to stop fighting. And the one man looks at him and says, who are you? That same phrase is basically what he uses here. Who am I? Those words have been ringing in his ears for 40 years. Who am I? Sometimes our past, man, it's hard to get through it and hard to get past our past. But if, when God shows up and he's got something for us, we've got to be able to get past that. And we can say, this is where I was, but God's got something new for me. And a lot of times, you guys I know right now are starting to come up with some ideas for this new year, and you're like, man, I've came up with this idea before, and it didn't work. And you just have that ringing in your head of the past failures and past mistakes, things that people have said to you that are harmful and hurtful, and I need you to know that God isn't the one that said those things. If God has given you something, he's trying to pull you to something, you need to just figure out a way to say, you know what? I'm not gonna focus on this. It's like when you drive. You've heard this a lot of times. If you just sit there and focus on the rearview mirror, you're going to run into something. You're focusing on what's behind you. You need to focus forward. And so God answers Moses. But the answer that he gives him is kind of interesting. See, one of the biggest attacks of the enemy is to freeze your future. We have an enemy, and he does not want us to see what God has for us. God has an amazing future. It says, I have a hope and a future for something new. Our enemy does not want us to see that. He wants to freeze our future by just keeping us focused on our past mistakes and failures. Every single person in here has had mistakes and failures. And God's saying, I've got something more for you. But you can't live there in the past. So, this is what God says to Moses. Now, God could have said a lot of things. Moses says, who am I that I should do this? God could have said, you know what? You were raised as an Egyptian in the palace. You know the Egyptian language. You can walk the walk. You can talk the talk. You've been there, done that. Moses, you have been a great leader. It's been inside of you to help and to lead. Moses, you've been in this land being a shepherd, leading these sheep around, and I'm going to have you be in the same land leading my people around. He could have said all those qualifications of why Moses was the right man for this, but he didn't say any of that. Instead, God said this. He said, I'll be with you. Amen. It wasn't about Moses saying, who am I? God was saying, it's about me. I'll be with you. That's what you need. Don't focus on your past. Don't focus on who am I. Focus on I'll be with you. Sometimes we get so self-consumed that we don't make progress anywhere because all we can think about is who am I. I think this is so important, especially in the time we're in right now. Because we live in a society that is very much a who am I society. A lot of people have a lot of confusion because they're just trying to identify who they are. And it leads to just self-centeredness, self-focused, all they care about is self-discovery. And I think it's important to know who you are. I think it's important to set goals and all these things. But without a God-centered mindset, it's useless. We need to have an I'll be with you type of faith, not a who am I type of faith. And so I'm going to be real with you for just a minute. Can you guys take it? I know Pastor Mike says, can you take it? I've seen this who am I type of faith, this who am I self-centeredness that leads to really just damaged relationships. It leads to selfishness. It leads to people hurting and manipulating others because they care most about themselves. I've seen a lot of this start to creep its way into church. And I'm just as guilty as any of you of what I'm about to say. In the past 5 or 6 years, I've noticed something. And it's not just here at LifePoint, it's at every single church I've visited. The pastor is wrapping up his sermon, and he's starting to preach. Starting to pray. There's a guy at the keyboard playing, and people start leaving. And you guys might think, that's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. Because people are being set free. People are giving their life to Christ, and we should be celebrating. We should be excited about this. We should be saying, God, thank you that you did something awesome today. But we think, who am I? I've got a kid that needs to get out of that room, and that room has a lot of people that are going to stand in there, and I need to go home. I need to get out of this parking lot because the parking lot's full, and I need to get out of here. And we've given in to the idol of self-convenience. And so I am the same in the same boat. I sit down there every single week and listen to Pastor Mike talk. And right when the musician starts to play, my brain starts to think, okay, what's the next thing I got to do? Instead of how can I celebrate with these people whose lives are being changed, I'm thinking about what the next thing's going to be. God, forgive me. Please forgive it. Forgive me. Forgive us. Help us to be a church that's focused on winning the lost. It's focused on setting people free. That we're not about who am I. We're about God is with me. And so I want us next year to, you guys are already an amazing church and we love you. And I want even more people to be a part of everything that's taking place here at this church. I want all of you that know that you're on a dream, that are on a dream team every single week, when you're serving, you're living out an I'll be with you type of faith. You might think you're just opening a door, but you would be surprised at the amount of times we hear somebody give a story that they're coming in here depressed, dejected, and just a smile and a door open changes their countenance like that. About a mom or a dad who's just having a really rough down week, and man, they just need some time to be in church, and they hand their baby over to someone in the nursery who cares about their child, and all of a sudden they feel like, oh my goodness, somebody cares about me. Those are people that are saying an I'll be with you type of faith, not a who am I. So let's do our best to live out that type of faith. God loves all of us, but we got to remember this. When I used to teach kids, I'd tell them this all the time. God is not a genie or a butler that when you ring the bell or rub the lamp that he's there just to pop open and give you what you want. That's not an I'll be with you type of God. God wants to have a relationship with us. That is incredible. He created the heaven, the earth. He created everything. And he wants to have a relationship with you. Man, not who am I, it's who is God. And here's the awesome thing. When you start living out an I'll be with you type of faith, where you're spending time with God and you're having a relationship with him and you're getting to know him more, guess what else will happen? You'll start to discover more about yourself. Because God wants you to know who you are, but he wants you to know who you are through his lens, not through your lens. Because your lens will lead to confusion, but his lens will lead to freedom and to truth. And so wrap yourself around that. God, not who am I, but who are you? I want to be with you. And as I'm with you, I'm going to discover more about myself. So, when God shows up, we're going to give him our attention, we're going to give him our past, and then we're going to give him our potential. And potential is kind of a funny word. So, I've got three kids. I'm trying to remember their ages, but we won't say that. 13, 10, and 6. Sounds about right. They're both about to have, some of them are about to have birthdays, so I get them mixed up a little bit, but that's okay. I love my children. They're not in here today, so I can just say things. Now, if I was to go to my 10-year-old and I said, Mackenzie, I love you, man. You have so much potential. She'd probably get uplifted. She'd get a smile on her face. That's a great thing to say. Now, if somebody came to me, I'm almost 30-10. Yeah, if you're 44, you're 30-14, so don't let people lie to you. All right. And if somebody came to me and they said, you have so much potential. At first, I'm like, cool. Wait a minute. What is that supposed to mean? I have so much potential. You saying I'm not doing anything with my life? Moses is 80 years old and God's about to expose an 80-year-old to all the potential that he has. But the truth is that word can seem a little bit strange, especially when you're a little bit older, for somebody to say you have so much potential. It's kind of like when, you know, a southern mama says, oh, bless your heart. Really what they're saying is, you are so dumb. And so, oh, you got so much potential. Is that just your way of saying, man, you are a loser? I hope not. Look at the person next to you say, oh, you have so much potential. So Moses has now heard God's plan. I want you to set the people free. I'm there with you. And Moses begins to doubt. And so Moses says, but behold, they will not listen to me or believe me. They will say, the Lord did not appear to you. So Moses is saying, I know you're calling me to do this, but I'm going to walk up and they're going to say, for reals, God didn't talk to you. And God's about to show him his potential. And God looks at Moses through a bush, and God speaks. He said, Moses, what is in your hand? You know what was in Moses' hand? That poop stick. Moses said, it's my staff. I have a stick in my hand. Now, to Moses, that stick was just a tool. It was an everyday part of his life. He was a shepherd. He used it every day. Now, as an 80-year-old man, he probably leaned on it from time to time. It was a crutch. It was something he held on to. He needed it to survive, to help to rally the sheep where he wanted to go, maybe to fight off a critter that wanted to attack them once in a while. He had a stick in his hand. Why are you asking me what's in my hand, God? I have a stick. And so God said, here's what I want you to do with that stick. See, Moses didn't realize the potential that was in just a stick. God said, I want you to release it. Cast it on the ground. So Moses had a choice to make. He could have been disobedient and just not done it. Sometimes that's what we do with our potential. But Moses took his potential. He was obedient. He cast it on the ground. And right when he cast it on the ground, it becomes a snake. Moses is 80 years old. I can't picture an 80-year-old freaking out and jumping, but Moses is freaking out and running. It says he ran from the snake. I'd run from a snake, too, if it was a stick just a minute ago. That's crazy. And then God tells him, pick it back up. What? I ain't picking up no snake. I'm stepping on its head or something. I'm not picking it up. And if you've ever watched somebody pick up a snake, they're supposed to pick it up by like its head. He picks it up by its tail. He picks it up. It's a stick again. Moses now, I'm sure, is his heart is about to beat out of his chest, eyes wide, probably sweat dripping down his forehead, like, what just happened? God said, you have a stick, that's all I need. You have a little bit of potential, and you give me obedience, and watch me birth something amazing. Watch me do something incredible, because you took that potential, and you were obedient with it. So no longer was there just potential in a stick. With obedience, now all of a sudden there was a purpose and a power. So God took an insignificant stick, and because of Moses' obedience, he worked wonders. That stick was used to confront the Egyptian magicians. That stick was used to turn water into blood. That stick released plagues of frogs, lice, locusts, hail. That stick was reached out and parted the Red Seas. That stick drowned an Egyptian army. That stick was used to bring water out of a rock and lift it high. That stick defeated a huge enemy army. And it wasn't a stick, it was God in obedience with potential. So, what's your stick? You know, sometimes we say that to people, what's your stick? Kind of, what's your thing? And so that's what I'm asking for you. What's your stick? Because when God spoke to Moses, I'm sure Moses was just like, why are you asking me this? What's in my hand? You know what it is. But God said, okay, I want you to take your what you don't even think is worth anything, and I want you to give it to me in obedience. And then watch the incredible wonders that I can do because you were obedient. So I'm asking you that. What's your potential? What's the stick that's in your hand? And remember, it doesn't matter if you're 8 or if you're 80. Or if Moses was an old man with a lot of potential. And God saw it on him and God was going to bring it out. Your potential might be a skill. It might be a talent, an ability. You might have resources. You might have an education. Usually your potential is a lot of times the things that you define yourself by. I'm a blank person. But you are just grasping onto it so tight. This is my thing. It's my crutch. It might be money, a title, time, energy, ideas. It might be an addiction. It's that thing that you just, it's mine. And God's saying, give it to me and watch what I can do. W.C. Fields, a guy that older guy that always says, you know, good, crazy stuff, said potential's like a gallon of milk. He said, if you drink it, it can be good for you, but if you let it sit on a shelf for a real long time, it becomes sour and it'll make you sick. And so if you've got and you know what your potential is, you need to use it. You need to give it to God. You need to say, God, this is yours. So I don't know who needs to hear this, but God gave you every single thing that you need. Even if it's just a stick. Some people come in and like, man, I'm not good enough. I don't have what I need. I don't know. I have nothing to offer God. I'm not enough. And God's saying, perfect. If I got you to that level, perfect. That's where I want to start. This. If you come in here like, I'm everything. I got it all. God's like, okay, I got to humble them first. I'll take care of that too. But if you come in already with just a humble spirit like, God, I don't even know. I mean, I know I'm good at a couple things, but God's saying, perfect. Just be obedient. Time and time again in the Bible, this happened. Israelites, you have feet, you have voices to shout. Go walk around a city. When you shout, let's knock down a wall. David, you got some stones, you got a sling, got a little bit of skill, let's go kill a giant. Hey, little boy, you got just a little bit of a lunch? Watch me put it in my hands, and I'll feed thousands of people, and I'll send you them with leftovers for days. See, God can take just a little bit and do amazing things with it when we surrender it to him. So whatever you've got, decide today, I'm going to give it to God. And I believe today there's a bunch of sticks that are about to become alive and dangerous. See, Moses was freaked out to let that thing go, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then God said, pick it back up. Because sometimes we're going to let go of something, and it's going to scare us, because maybe something will happen, and it comes to life, and all of a sudden, we don't even know what's happening, and it scares us. And God says, no, it's pick it back up. I've given it to you to use. But now, you've seen that when you release it to me, there's power. It's not just potential anymore. Pick it back up. Walk with it. Use it. And here's the great thing. When all of a sudden you decide to hand that thing over to God, our enemy is scared to death. Because your potential now has purpose and now has power. And devil, you better have just run, because I found out what I have in my hand. So today is the day that you guys find out what you have in your hand and you say, God, it's yours. Work your potential. Put your potential towards its purpose. So, really quickly, I want to speak to just some of you who feel stuck. Especially, and I remember being at about this age, at like 20 years old. And at 20 years old, I remember thinking, there has to be a specific purpose and a specific calling for my life. And you just, all you can focus on is that God wants this one thing for me. And God's saying, here's the one thing I want. So if you're feeling stuck because you don't know exactly what you're supposed to do, God's saying, I want you to just be obedient, and I want you to draw close to me. And as you're obedient and you draw close to me, I'll start exposing little by little. I'm not going to give you maybe exactly where you're supposed to be, but I'm going to give you directions, turn by turn, that'll lead you where you're supposed to go. Don't get so stuck that you don't even move. So, our last point is this. Give God your weakness. Moses begins to talk to God, and he says, God, okay, I see that you got the stick and I'm doing this thing, but I don't speak well. I mean, he doesn't even know what to say even. He's just like, God, and God's like, I gave you that mouth. I know your weakness. I know where you're not good. It doesn't matter to me, because I want you to give that to me. And Moses is like, man, I still can't do this. God, please. And it says God gets a little frustrated with him, but then God says, okay, I'm sending a helper. Aaron's coming. I'll talk to you. You talk to Aaron. Aaron will talk. He said, but I still want you to be my voice. God's like, I'm not just going to say, okay, here's your crutch. No, we're going to work on this together. And there's a reason that I think this is important, because relationships are huge. Relationships matter big time. I want to tell you just a little bit about myself. About 14, 15, I was sitting in church, and I remember watching our student pastor, and I thought, man, I think that's what God wants me to do with my life. And I was an annoying teenager to student pastors. I drove them nuts. Because I would ask them the most off-the-wall, crazy questions that I knew they wouldn't be able to answer, but I would look up the answer before them. Yeah, that's good stuff. But I was like, okay, God, I think this is what I'm supposed to be doing. It seemed like fun. It seemed like there was something God was pulling me towards. And so then I saw him off the stage. And I had a great student pastor about that time, and he was friendly and loving and talked a lot to people. I'm like, oh, God, I can't do this. And I was in that same boat as Moses. I said, God, I'm not good with my words. Because anybody that really knows me well knows that I am not a natural conversationalist. I'm just not. I hate that I'm not. I really, when people like Pastor Mike, man, he can talk to anybody, anytime, any day, all the time. If you go to lunch with him, he's going to talk to the waitress, and he's going to talk to everybody else, and it's awesome. And I look up to those people, and I want to surround myself with those people, and I'm jealous of those people. But God created me a little bit differently. I'm much more introverted. I'm the guy that gets stuck in his thoughts and thinks of creative ideas and systems, and he created me that way for a reason and a purpose. But I remember thinking, God, I can't do this because I don't have that skill set. And God, I remember saying the same thing to me. I gave you that mouth. I gave you that brain for a reason. I said, okay, God, I'm going to need you to bring somebody then. And if you've ever met my wife, my wife is the exact opposite of me. She'll talk your ear off. She'll give you hugs. She'll love on you. And here's the thing. God didn't tell me, oh, you can just give up on that. No, I have to still grow in that every single day. It doesn't give me a pass that I can't be that way. I just have to grow there, and I have someone that can help me. That's why relationships matter, because we connect through our weakness. One of the things we do around here is life groups. And we say in a life group, you can find freedom. You can find freedom from your past. You can find freedom from your weakness. Because when we're together, we can support each other and lift each other up. And even though God says, I gave you that mouth. God said, I know what your weakness is. He said, but I can bring people around you. That even in your weakness, together you can be strong. Moses had Aaron. Paul needed a Silas. People to encourage, to lift up, to keep it up. Keep it up. You can do it. You can do it. If you're trying to do this on your own, it's not going to work. That's why I love having you guys sit in here, because you've made an effort to get up and to come to church, because you know I need to be around people who are like-minded so that together we can grow. So the two ways I really encourage you, get on a dream team. On a dream team, you'll start to uncover your purpose. Remember earlier we talked about the who am I? Dream team is a great way to start discovering who am I. And then get in a life group. In just a couple weeks, we're going to do life group signups. And if you don't know what group to join, Group 1's a great group. If you've been in Group 1, it's a great group, yes? Yes. Growth Track starts next week. Life group signups start next week. Find out what your purpose is and realize that I can't do this on my own. So I want you to think through big time today, all those things. Give God your attention. Give God your past. Give God your potential. Give God your weakness. But really, 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 I think that potential part is so huge. Moses was just a guy and a stick. And that stick led thousands to freedom. And I love the Bible, because all the Bible talks together and talks the same language. Because thousands of years later, there would be a guy and a stick. Jesus carrying a stick all by himself, getting nailed to that stick, led thousands of people, millions of people, billions of people to freedom. So today, there's multiple things I want to do. Some of you today, you need to hear that Jesus loves you, that he's got a plan for you, that he's bigger than all of your needs. And you need today to say, God, I'm all in. I surrender my life to you. I'm going to pay attention to you. I want more of you. I want to be set free. And I know it's because of your cross and that you raised from the dead and you're no longer dead and you're living and I can live my life for you and I want to be with you. And some of you, you're serving Christ and today it's like, okay, God, this thing that I've been holding on to, it's yours. And God's like, yes, finally. So if you can stand with me today. How many of you guys want 2019 to be awesome? Here's the truth. This next year is going to take you somewhere. Every year takes you somewhere. There's an old saying that says, even a dead fish floats downstream. Don't be a dead fish. Go somewhere with a purpose. Let God be that purpose. Do something incredible this year. God has it for you. I want you to go home and I want you to think and pray. And then I want you to do something. God's already given a lot of you ideas. Some of you is, I want to be healthier. Guess what? That is a very much great God-centered idea. God wants you to be physically healthy. Some of you, you want to start a business. Some of you are like, this is the year that me and my spouse come together completely. And I'm going to be an amazing husband. I'm going to be a supportive wife. I want to start a business. I want to go back to school. Whatever that dream is, say, God, is this a dream that you've given to me? If it's setting you free or helping set other people free, probably is. I want you to write it down. I want you to tell somebody, and then I want you to start doing it. Habakkuk 2, he gets a vision. You know what he does? He writes it down. He tells somebody, and he starts doing it. So I want you guys to do that. Take the dream, and then say, God, I'm giving this to you. This is yours. You continue to guide me. Because you know what? God gave Moses his plan of I'm going to set the people free, but he didn't give them every single step. He said, take the stick, do the thing, go. All right. And Moses just started being obedient. And all along the way, sometimes Moses got frustrated. He's like, God, I don't know what to do. He constantly did these three things that our bracelets say. I don't know where mine is. There it is. He prayed, he listened, and he moved. Let that be your battle cry this year. Pray. Listen. Move. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for what you're doing here. God, we thank you that this year is going to be an incredible year, God. You're at LifePoint Church and the lives of everyone here, God, that you're going to see potential become purpose. God, I've given them your word to the best of my ability. God, I pray that it would come to life within them, Lord. God, that people would pay attention to you, that they'd discover why you designed them the way that you did. God, they'd fully surrender and they would say, God, I need more and more of you. And it's not about who am I, it's about I'll be with you, Lord. I want you to pray this with me. Say, dear Jesus, I need you this year. I'm all in with you. I can't do without you. Take what's in my hand. Bring it to life and help me set people free. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, some of you, it may have been your first time that you said that prayer. That, you know what, Jesus, I'm all in. In the seat pocket in front of you, there's a little connection card. And if you can fill that out and drop it in the buckets, or even better, come pray with one of these people up here and say, you know what, today I prayed this prayer. Some of you, today is the day you said, I've got potential and I know what it is. Come pray with somebody. Tell somebody. We've got our prayer team down here. Make sure that you do that. This is going to be an amazing year. I want you guys to know this. God loves you. We here at LifePoint, we believe in you, that you're going to change Clarksville and make it an amazing place where God just is showing up all over the place. Now go make a difference. Peace out, everyone.